to Ukraine crisis, where the players have paused with Crimea poised to try and rejoin Russia. Russia apparently not standing in the way of that, and the West, especially the United States, threatening sanctions and accusing the parties of violating international law. The question, is Crimea the first building block in Vladimir Putin's recreation of a Soviet Union?
I don't think that he wants to recreate the Soviet Union precisely because he doesn't want to have responsibility for economic basket cases like Ukraine is at the present time.
Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates speaking on Fox News Sunday. Over the weekend, the notion of de facto annexation by Russia of Crimea emerged from both Russia and that territory. But so is economic turmoil. Market sell-offs are probably the biggest sanction out there, constraining Vladimir Putin from actually doing something to restart the Cold War. Last week, the Russian stock market index fell by more than 12%, wiping out $60 billion in value. Interest rates rose to 7% from 5.5% in an effort to stabilize the ruble. James Stewart, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, says that economically there is no going back to the Cold War and that a sudden $60 billion loss may have delivered a message to Vladimir Putin.
Well, it's fascinating that it does seem to be having some effect on his actions. At least people I talked to said that he's been very aware of both the stock market and the currency market reactions. And yes, there are speculators crawling all over this. And that's part of why he has to pay attention, that these people, they're like voting with their money. And that's an incredibly important part of the Russian economy today, the foreign capital, foreign investment, which, of course, was not true all during the Cold War.
There are other bets that are going on, though, in the Russian stock market, and there are other sort of bigger bets in stock markets that follow and track and have exchange-traded funds that, track emerging markets. And that is whether the West has the capacity to do anything really to confront an annexation of Crimea. And if the betting starts going against the West, Putin could really benefit here in the exact same way that he's taken such a $60 billion hit in the early going.
Well, that's possible, but at least people I talked to thought that's very unlikely, primarily because there's nothing good about sanctions, which are being threatened by the West, and they're not especially good for the West either. When it comes to the economics, the West has a lot more leverage than Russia does, partly because the economies are so much bigger and more diversified. There might be some short-term disruptions in the oil, natural gas situation, but I don't really see much upside, at least from an economic perspective, to Putin in this maneuver. But the Cold War really ended not because of military actions, but because of economic pressures and the isolation of the old Soviet Union. And since the collapse of the Soviet Union, Russia's whole strategy has been to integrate into the global economy. And now that's all under threat.
Is it possible for the West to find an alternative for Russian gas and for the broader energy economy to isolate Russia as one of the largest producers of petroleum?
People think so. I mean, it wouldn't happen overnight. It might be some expenses involved. But natural gas is an amazingly plentiful supply today, primarily because of the shale production in North America. And it's just a matter of finding a way of getting it over there. And those technologies are under active development now. But even places like Norway, even Europe itself has a lot of resources, at least to get through a year or so, because the timing of this isn't great for Russia since it is spring and the demand for natural gas is going to naturally seasonally go down.
So in many ways, this scenario is tailor-made for economic sanctions, which have been so frustrating and haven't really worked terribly well in the past.
That's absolutely right. And I think part of the reason that the sanctions are such a threat is that, like say, even unlike in Iran, Russia is much more now tethered to the global economy as a result of the policies they've put in place over the last few decades. Most of the financing for Russian companies comes from the West. It was fascinating to me to look at the Gazprom, for example, the biggest market capitalization company on the Russian stock market. It's half owned by the Russian government. But if you look at the individual shareholders, the largest number of them are Americans. And I was surprised to see that one of the largest, not surprisingly, is Vanguard, the big mutual fund index fund. There are plenty of Americans probably who don't even realize it. They own shares in Gazprom through their mutual funds and index funds. That really means that Russia depends very heavily on Western participation in its economic growth.
Although some would say Vanguard's participation might constrain the West, you say it's actually a weapon that Vanguard can use to be a part of this kind of front line against Putin with these financial weapons.
Well, I suppose Russia could nationalize again these companies that are publicly traded, and you know that would certainly send a shock through. But that would set the Russian economy back 50 years. You know, that just is inconceivable to most people.
You know, finally, in the New York Times, there have been comparisons to not so much the Cold War, but the appeasement of Adolf Hitler during World War II, talks of Czechoslovakia situation, the Sudetenland that was annexed by Germany prior to the invasion of Poland, which touched off World War II. You know, Adolf Hitler financed his insanity and his aggression with a lot of, you know, hyperinflated paper within Germany. I mean, he didn't particularly have finances at the center of his notion of what the heck he was doing. Does ideology trump economics in situations like this? And is that a sort of dangerous dark card that we don't really know the outcome of there?
Well, I think, yes, ideology can trump it. I think the comparisons to Germany, Nazi Germany, are a little superficial, really. So many things have changed. But yes, ideology can always trump reason, and we've seen it throughout history. But one of the curious things about this today is there's not really any ideology at play here. Putin is not a communist. He may be an empire builder. He may want to be trying to create a sphere of influence. And Russia may be a form of sort of crony capitalism, but it is capitalism today. Nobody is talking about a return to Marxism-Leninism. And that, again, I think is why that Russia is vulnerable to pressures from the West and why ultimately I would think reason would prevail, because it's not really an ideological contest.
James Stewart, columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.